All right, so I'm Brian Krug from the University of New Hampshire, and I'm going to spend some time talking to you about a website that myself and a number of other colleagues around the country have put together called eGrow. It's the URL is e-gro.org. So how this all came about was a number of us kind of had a lot of the same interests in doing some of the same activities, and there's just a lot of duplication from one state to the next. And we were already working on projects with research and other extension aspects, so we decided to put our work together and stop duplicating each other and, you know, save a lot of work for all of us and get all the credit from our administrations for everybody else's work in addition to ours. So it's worked out really well so far. So this is what the website looks like. When you go to the homepage, as I mentioned, it's e-gro.org, and there's a bunch of different people collaborating with it, and not everybody is collaborating on the same things. And you can see the list of all the universities there that have individuals working on some aspect of eGrow. So the different aspects of eGrow, I'm going to go through each one of these briefly to give you an understanding of kind of what's there. The first one is alerts, eGrow University, eGrow Books, eGrow Videos, and eGrow Webinars. And you'll probably get the idea as we go through here. We're all about branding with eGrow. We're trying to get that presence and that familiarity with growers. And growers is the who we're trying to reach here. So we try to use that logo and that branding as much as possible. So it's, you know, as best as we can, make that a household name. I think that's a pretty lofty goal, but we'll try. So the first one is alerts, and that's what really got us going with eGrow. It started with Brian Wipker at NC State University and Roberto Lopez at Purdue and myself doing newsletters for our growers. And we're putting together newsletters. They're a lot of work, and a lot of the articles were getting shared anyway, so we decided let's do one newsletter. And that really morphed into eGrow Alerts. And what it is everybody that's involved in eGrow Alerts is an extension specialist. So we're doing a lot of traveling, visiting growers. And instead of anticipating what growers might be having problems with, when we see a problem in the greenhouses, maybe we're out this week and we see, you know, the same issue over and over in a number of greenhouses, that's an eGrow Alert. We'll go back to the office, write it up, make a PDF, and we'll post it to the website. And we release these PDFs once a week, usually from the end of January to the beginning to middle of May. So we have that cycle of every week there's going to be an alert that shows up in the grower's mailbox. And this is kind of what it looks like. We've tried to keep it very streamlined and make it so there's not a lot of stuff that they have to filter through. It's very matter of fact. So depending on the week, we might have anywhere from 2 to 4 alerts that get pushed out from our different collaborators. So what they get is they get a constant contact email, and in the orange, that's the title of the eGrow alert, and then a 1 or 2 sentences about what it is. So the grower can very quickly, when they get this in their email box, look through here and see if any of these are any interest to them. We know that they're not going to always be of interest, but they can very quickly look through and say, like, oh, like I'm having some issues with plant nutrition in my retail garden space. So I can click on that one. I don't have to filter through a whole lot of ads and things like that. When they click on it, they get to see the PDF. We try to make them very photo rich, very colorful. As the saying goes, pictures say 1,000 words. They're very narrow focused, very specific. So, again, not trying to get everything into one alert. We've got lots of opportunity to do this in very specific alerts. And again, timely. We're pushing out this information when we're seeing it. We don't have, if we want to have, if we see something today, we can have this alert out tomorrow if we really see it necessary. And the other nice thing is we have a nice range of the regions for floriculture in collaborators, anywhere from all the way from University of Georgia up to New Hampshire and out to Iowa. So, you know, things that are happening in the southeast eventually are going to show up in the northeast. So we get a little bit of a jump for those northern growers to see what's happening early on in the season, and they can anticipate it. Right now we have about just over 2,500 subscribers to our email list, and we feel really good that about 35% to 40% of those subscribers click on our emails each week. So that's a little over 1,000 people are opening that email and at least looking and see what we have to offer. And that's, you know, like, we're not trying to ram it down their throats or anything. Give them what they want to look at. If they're interested in it, they can open up and go farther. So, and this comes down to finally our economic impact for that, because as we all know, especially in extension, like, our administrators want to know, okay, what does this mean for the growers? What are the impacts? And, you know, learning outcomes are good, but really, when it comes down to it, my administrator's like, how much money did you save the growers? So we did a survey last year after year two of eGrow Alerts, and we'll do another survey to our subscribers this year. But according to the survey results, we had a really good response from our survey. We had about 300 people respond to our survey. And they told us that due to the eGrow Alerts, the growers that opened the alerts and read them were able to recognize problems in their crops that accounted for over $4 million worth of value to their crops. And this is something that we can go back to our administrators and our legislators and really justify the work that we're doing. And I have this broken out by the different aspects that we categorized our eGrow alerts into different categories of production, and you can kind of see the breakdown of how that works out. And you know, the nutrition and the light probably comes out a little bit more because we have more of expertise in that in our group. We have a little bit less expertise in the insects and diseases compared to the rest of the group, so it kind of works its way out that way. So the next aspect of eGrow is eGrow University. And we came together and came up with a curriculum of kind of a basic, you know, freshman level 101 greenhouse course. Knowing that, you know, the majority of the growers and employees of a greenhouse don't have a formal background in greenhouse growing. So we wanted to create a learning module for them that they could get up to speed. So we have about 50 lectures online that are free. They range anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes long. And again, like the basics, greenhouse management, plant growth management, plant nutrition, pest management, disease management, and plant growth regulators. And those are our 5 different modules, and there's a number of different lectures for each one of those modules. And this is kind of what the module looks like. As opposed to just doing kind of like a voiceover for a PowerPoint, we wanted to have a little bit more of our personalities come through. So we were able to do a lecture capture. So not only do you see the clean slide, but you also see the person in front of the screen giving the presentation. It's a lot easier for us that way, because it was much more natural to be giving a lecture in front of a screen as opposed to just at your computer going through slides. I think it kind of covers up some of those, like, if, when you pause or stumble, it's so noticeable when you're just doing a voiceover. But when you see the person giving it, it's a little less noticeable. So we went with the path of least resistance there. And it's really convenient for the grower. It brings the specialists from around the universities right to their office. They don't have to go to the training meetings. It's not, you know, the training meetings, the one-on-one, this is not a replacement for that, but it's not realistic for all these section growers and new employees to be traveling to, you know, the Cultivate meeting in Columbus or some of these regional meetings, and this brings that information to them. It's a great educational opportunity, and they can watch it when they want to on their schedule, when they have the downtime. And we've categorized it by those five categories so they can easily find what they're looking for. And best of all for the growers, it's free. Now, we have been asked about a certificate program, and we're working on that. It's 90% there. Later this fall, we will have a certificate program. They'll have five modules that they can choose from. They'll be able to take each of those modules separately, or they can take the whole course, depending on what they're interested in. And we're going to use Moodle to do that. There'll be a small fee for the administrative aspect, just so that we can justify our time for it. But it's not going to be, we haven't set the price, but it's not going to be overly expensive. It's more of a tool for growers to use this as a accountability for their employees. Say, hey, we're going to hire you. We know you don't have a lot of background in, say, plant nutrition. I'd like you to go take this module. I'll pay for it, but I need you to show me the certificate when you're done to just keep those employees accountable. The next thing we have is iBooks. So we're putting out some electronic books for different crops and different aspects of growing. Unfortunately, right now, they're only available on iPad. There's so much when it comes to putting into an e-book. The formatting can be pretty rigorous. Apple, as they do with a lot of things, makes things overly simple and easy for the layperson to get into, and they've done that with iBook Author. So right now we've been doing things for iPads. We have five books available. Some are free, some are for a small fee, but we're hoping in the next year or two that we'll start moving into other platforms as the technology makes it easier to do that, because we don't have the funding to hire somebody to do all the formatting for us. We're taking this information and doing it ourselves. The next thing is eGrow videos. We're taking advantage of YouTube as well. Some of these videos are support videos for eGrow University, supplemental information that, you know, the concepts. We can write a fact sheet, we can do a PowerPoint, but I'm sure all of us have had that experience where when the grower actually sees you do something to demonstrate it, it really sets in. So, you know, YouTube just really makes that so accessible for the masses. The last thing that we're moving into is webinars, the eGrow webinars. We've been focusing on 50-minute live lectures as opposed to the recorded lectures. We do record those. We do it in GoToMeeting, and we record them and post them on eGrow so that growers can go back and review them, or if they weren't able to make the webinar, they can go back and view it. We make the PDF of the slide set available before the webinar is commenced, and so people have those slides so that they can take notes as they're watching. We do offer some interactivity there that they can type in a chat to ask questions at the end of the webinar, so that there is a little bit of back and forth between the grower and the speaker. We also trialed a webinar conference this spring in January. We did it sounds pretty overwhelming, but a four-hour webinar. We had a really strict set schedule, and none of the lectures lasted more than 30 or 40 minutes, and we stuck to that schedule. The nice thing about webinars is when their time is up, I can just mute the speaker, and your time is over, and we can go on to the next one. That allowed the growers to know ahead of time what's going to be available, and they could come and go into the webinar as the topic allowed them to do that. It was really well received. We're also going to start mini webinars. I think we're going to do this probably like on Friday afternoons, very quick 15-20-minute webinars that people can get real short information that's timely for the time of year. So far, we've done about a dozen webinars, and here's the list of webinars that we've done so far. These are all up on the website, so people can go back and view them. And we're going to leave these up for free as long as the information is pertinent. I mean, at some point, some of the stuff might change, needs to be updated, and we'll pull it down at that point and probably redo a new webinar. The last thing I want to talk about is apps. We've been moving into apps, and the first one that we have is the eGrow Disease Advisor. We've changed the name since I took this screenshot, but it's the Disease Advisor. If you go to, you can be welcome to take out your devices right now. It's been really fun as we talk about this, like Paul did. Like, you know, I was always used to like put away your phones, put away your devices, and now we're encouraging you to take them out and do it as we're talking. So, eGrow.mobi is the website, and you'll get to choose between the Disease Advisor and the insect and mite advisor. So here's a disease control one. From this drop-down menu, you choose the disease that you have having issues with. You do have to know that how to diagnose that beforehand, but a lot of these, you know, growers know what botrytis is. They know what Pythium looks like. So they choose their disease, and then the next drop-down menu is a database of everything, every fungicide that is labeled for greenhouse use on that disease. Doesn't tell you if it's necessarily the best one. That's a whole other can of worms. But right now we just have, you know, what's labeled. Once you choose one, it gives you all the information that you might need to make that spray application and fill out your pesticide records. The one thing that I really like is that FRAC code that we added in there. So it's listing the mode of action, so you can make sure that right there in the palm of your hand in your device, you know what the mode of action is. Again, to get you to take out your devices, to sign up to get eGrow alerts and also emails about new things coming up with eGrow, you can just text the words eGrow to 22828, and you'll get on the email list, and you'll be updated as more things come up with eGrow. With that, I'll open it up to some questions. No questions? This one, for the time being, it's all free. I mean, the model that we're going for is, you know, it's basic information. Everything is free. The only thing that is a charge will be the eGrow certificate, the eGrow University certificate, but it'll be a pretty small fee.
How are you talking to your agents about time spent developing for eGrow versus?
So the question is, how are we dealing with talking to our agents between using eGrow versus eExtension? And you know, it really hasn't come up that much. I think we've gone with this model because we can none of us have had much experience with eExtension. This we can have maybe a little bit more control over how things are handled on the website, we just haven't really crossed that bridge much.
So, who's going to manage your Google server? I mean, the extension has a Google server at campus.extension.org, and you can easily modify that with a PayPal account if your university lets you PayPal.
Yeah. So the question was like, how is our Moodle site being managed? Because eExtension has that ability, and we're lucky that UNH does have a Moodle server, and that's all integrated into the university system that we can process credit card payments through the university. And then also, everything is automated through the university. Like the management, once I get the initial questions in and set up, there's very little administration that has to happen to it, and we have IT support for that at UNH.
For the economic impacts, the 4.2 million, are they
The question is how the economic impact of the $4.4 million is that a yearly impact? And that's a yearly impact for 2013, and we'll redo that that same survey again for 2014. We used a Qualtrics survey, online survey. So growers were asked if because of eGrow Alert, they were able to recognize a problem in their greenhouse that they wouldn't have otherwise. And then we asked them what the value of that that crop was and the percentage of the crop that was affected by that problem.
One more question?
Thank you.